I'm gonna speak this morning on the subject of ways to avoid a blue Christmas. Ways to avoid a blue Christmas. And number one, just don't listen to Elvis. Okay, that's number. Okay, never. Just kidding. But ways to avoid a blue Christmas. Isaiah 61 verses 1-3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I'm going to speak a little bit more practically this morning than I typically do at Christmas. Last year, I put together last year a book of, I took all my sermons I'd done at Christmas on my notes, I typed them up and made a little book, and I don't have any back there on the table. I think I got one on my shelf, but I kept looking at it, and as I was editing those, I kept thinking, I keep talking about prophecy. Why do I always keep going back to prophecy in these things? It's like half the time I was in Isaiah 7 or 9 or even chapter 61, and even if I wasn't planning on preaching, I seem to always end up talking about the prophecies about Jesus coming. And that's what Dad was doing this morning, Sunday school, a little bit. I'm gonna reverse it. Instead of ending up in prophecy, I'm gonna start with prophecy and then end up somewhere else. So we're just gonna do it backwards here. You know, it's difficult to find balance when you're celebrating holidays, and especially coming at it from like the church standpoint. What do we do? How do we do things? I don't want to go completely over the top on things. Because, for instance, you take like Mother's Day or Father's Day. When those come around, there are folks who bear wounds and scars from a rough home life. And those days can be very difficult for them. The days are anything but happy for them. Another consideration, especially this time of year, is that many times the days are filled with memories of people who just recently have passed on, who have graduated into heaven, and there's a freshness to the hurt during this season. The first Christmas is always hard when there is a fresh hole in your heart. There's also just something naturally built into this time of the year that depresses some people. Psychologists call it seasonal affective disorder, which has one of the greatest acronyms ever, SAD. Seasonal affective disorder, SAD, okay? They say that the shorter days, less sunlight, together being stuck indoors because of the cold, all these things just kind of work together and make people depressed. There is relief, by the way. Bill kind of even talked about this. Winter solstice is next week. So after next Sunday, the days will start getting longer, okay? So relief is in sight for that. But all of these factors and others we could list, and by the way, none of these things surprise God. God knows we have a rough time. God knows our frailty of mind and our frailty of spirit. He knows the heartaches of the human condition. It may be, I was thinking about this, and I wonder if sometimes if maybe God didn't give us the Christmas season with its celebrations and things to provide a counter to a time that typically is cold and dark and miserable. He gives us a little light in the darkness. Now we can fill this time with joy and thanksgiving as we remember the newborn king in Bethlehem. Our text, Isaiah 61, I think Dad did his lesson on this last week or week before or something, but Christ actually reads this verse. Oh, it's covered in Luke chapter 4. He's at the synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads, and he stops there in the middle of verse 2, right after proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He told them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." The part he quoted is about the hope that springs from his first coming, the first advent. He stopped where he did because the prophecy continues and it now focuses on the second advent, the second time he comes, when he comes again to rule and reign. When that happens, he will defeat the forces of Satan and the Antichrist. He will save the nation of Israel from their doom and become their king. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and what a wonderful time that's going to be. Go read all the prophecies. I love to talk about that time. We don't have time to talk about this morning, but I'd love to talk about the millennial kingdom. In both cases, his first coming to save us from sin, his second coming to set up his kingdom, he brings joy and comfort to the hopeless and discouraged. He preaches the gladdest of tidings to the meek, the poor, the downtrodden, and gives them hope. He cares for the brokenhearted. He throws open the gates and frees those who have been enslaved by sin. His arrival heralds a new era of hope for mankind. To those mourning their sinful state, he pours out grace upon them. He empties their hearts of mourning and fills it instead with joy. Folks, when Christ shows up, something happens. People are not the same when they meet him. This world is not the same since he came 2,000 years ago. He makes things better. To the lost, he gives salvation. To the hopeless, he gives hope. To the anxious, he gives peace. To the fearful, he gives courage. To the blind, he gives sight. To the mournful, he gives joy. To the distraught, he gives rest. Christ simply makes things better. If you do not know what to do, I know the one who has the answers that you seek, because I know the one that makes things better. Not just at this time of the year, but every day of the year. You have a heartache, you have trouble, you have a burden. I know the one that can ease those. I know the one that can give you the strength. I know the one who can give you the courage to carry on. By the way, he will not turn away any that seek refuge in him. This morning, I want to highlight a few practical things that Christ said, some instructions he gave us that I think will help if you're having a hard time this time of year with Christmas. It's a hard time for whatever reason. Or generally speaking, this doesn't have to. I could preach this thing at Easter. It's a good advice all the way around. But I want to kind of focus on the Christmas season. But I want these to be a help. I think these help kind of reset, realign, and get things back on track. The first thing, and these are so simple, and this is nothing new. I think pretty much everything I'm going to say in here, I've said before at some point. But the very first thing I think we need to do is to seek Christ first. Seek Christ first. I believe this is essential in order for everything else to fall in place. You have to make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing should be Christ. It should be God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. These are the words of Christ. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. First, the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these things shall be added. He says, you seek him first. God will help take care of the rest of the stuff. Everything else will start coming into place. Too often we have something else as our main focus. Much of the problem, by the way, depression. You know what one of the biggest problems of depression is? It hyper-focuses inward on self, and it feeds on itself. That's one of the main things you have to deal with overcoming depression, is it just you're so inwardly focused on your own depression, basically. It feeds on itself. Yes, I could tell you this morning to get some sleep, lose some weight, and start working out. You would ignore me just like you ignore your doctor and your spouse if I said that. Those things would help. But if you really want to start seeing improvement in your life, to see true joy return, put God first. They asked Christ, which was the greatest, the hundreds of commandments. I think they said there's 613 is what somebody counted, one of the rabbis. So which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the Old Testament? His response is basically the same point I'm making here. Matthew 22, 37, 38, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. It's putting God first. Do you want to have joy this Christmas? Do you want relief this Christmas? The first thing you should do is start focusing on the true reason for the season. You may say, well, that doesn't make the problems go away. It may not, but it will give you what you need to put those problems in their place and give you the tools you need to help deal with those things properly. Christmas will have a whole new meaning for you when you get it into your head and heart that it's not about the parties and the presents and the pageants and all the distractions that we have. They'll stress you out this time of the year trying to make sure you make it to all the kinfolk, all the different programs, all the different plays. It'll wear you out. I honestly, this year, I feel pretty lucky. Our calendar's pretty limited, but in the years past, it's like, oh my goodness, we got to be here, get this. You're trying to schedule all out. I'm like, how in the world are we going to get it all in? You know, all those distractions fade away when you see His glory. I like that little song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His wonderful face. In Christ, you will find hope and strength and comfort that you need. Don't put yourself first. Don't put your family first. Put Him first. Put Him first. You want joy. You want peace. You want stability. Put Christ first. Second, serve others second. Serve others second. Put God first. Serve others second. I read just a minute ago where Christ identified the greatest commandment. He did not stop there with just one commandment. They asked for one, and like a good preacher, he adds a little extra point in there somewhere, you know. So he gives them two verses. He includes one more. And by the way, I think it's the other side of the coin. You love God first, but then Matthew 22, 39 and 40, he says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The most important thing we need to do is put Christ first. The second, which will be so much easier when God is in the right place, when He's number one, this is so much easier, is to serve others. And I'm going beyond just the emotion, like, oh, well, I love everybody. It's not just an emotion here. I've explained before, the biblical concept of love is more than a feeling, an emotion, an attraction, a care. It's love in action. There is movement to it. It's acted upon. I'm convinced that our world needs now more than ever a revival of caring for our fellow man. The hatred, the evil. I just got, just this morning, went in there, fired up the computer, I hadn't looked at the news, and pull up and just senseless violence over in Australia. Attacked a bunch of Jews, killed 11 or 12 of them, something like that. Just awful, evil. And all this, and that's not just there, that's everywhere. I tell you, I the things that are said, the things that are done, the way people are treated anymore, we're so divided that there's people that we just say they are unworthy of love or aid. Like, well, we shouldn't help them because whatever reason. They don't vote like we do. They don't act like we do. We're so selfish that even when we do for others, it's actually selfish motive because we're just priming the pump to get something back. If you're struggling this Christmas time, and by the way, even if you're not, this is some great advice for you. Do something meaningful for someone else with no thought of return. Do something meaningful for somebody else with no thought of return. I thought about this, and this is a wonderful time of year for, I mean, charities and stuff, and raise a lot of money, and there's a lot of generosity, and that's one of the great things about this time of the year. I was thinking, just watch Muppets Christmas Carol, you know, and thinking about the two guys that come to Scrooge and they want some money there and they kicks them out and later he goes and gives them a bunch of money, you know. But I think about those guys. That's this time of year. It's just part of this time of the year, giving to charity and trying to help others. But, you know, listen, you could write a check to some organization that you really don't know. You saw a commercial, you saw their ad, whatever, to help some problem that's not personal to you. And I don't want to downplay that. That's a great thing to do, to be a help to folks. I don't want to downplay that. But if you really want to do something for someone, make it meaningful. We all know people that are having a hard time. I'll say, most of us have asked, I wouldn't want to put you on the spot, but you know, we bow our heads, close our eyes like the you know, preachers do. And say, how many of y'all are having a hard time? Probably most hands that go up. We're all there, right? There's people having a hard time. You know what? There's people this time of year that are lonely. It's a very lonely time of year. Saw that this week. We were, like I say, doing some stuff and talked to some folks, and it was like, you know, you could just tell. It was just good to see somebody, good to talk to somebody. You know what a visit would do? You want to do something meaningful? Just go sit, talk. Say, well, I'm too introverted. I can't do that. I don't like talking to people. I'm there too, but I would say this. Well, just bake them some cookies. Go set them on the front porch, ring the doorbell, and run away, okay? Do something for somebody. You say, well, I can't cook. I got two words for you. Walmart, okay? Christ is quoted in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. He knows what he's talking about, and he set that very example when his time on earth. He put others first. Do something for someone. Like I say, you want to help your mental state, you want to cheer yourself up, go do something for somebody. Find a need and take care of it. Go be a friend. Go help. Go be a blessing to somebody, and you're going to find a whole lot of joy in that. Third thing, we put God first. We need to serve others second. And I'm not going with the joy outline, Jesus, others, you. I'm not doing that. This third thing I want to tell you is that you need to fill your heart with good things. Fill your heart with good things. What you fill your mind and your heart with greatly affects you. I don't harp on it very much, but this is why it's important. The things we consume media-wise, music, TV, music, these things, they affect us. They affect the way we think. They affect the way we act. And if you feed yourself garbage, you know what's going to come out? Garbage. If you're just wasting time and you're filling yourself with sinful, I'm telling you, it's going to come out. Christ spoke along these lines in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What's inside comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Let me give you just real quick, just a few practical things here. Fill your heart and mind with good things. You want to improve your mood, you want to improve your state of mind. Here's just some practical little things here. First off, read your Bible and meditate on what you read. It's not just making sure your eyes hit every word, but get it in, think about it. You not just ingest it, but chew the cud, digest it. Spend some time, think about it. I've been convicted about that lately, and I catch myself during the day, like, you know what, let me stop. My mind's wandering, thinking about something else. I just want to think about the Bible. Let me turn something over. Let me turn Psalm 23 over. Let me do something. Meditate on it. Fill your mind with that. Second, I'm going to say this, and this is just practical. Listen to good music. Music will help improve. If only I knew of a radio station. I wish I knew of one. Anyway. By the way, music is related to musing, the way you think. It affects you. I wish I had time to get into that. The way music affects your mind, it affects your emotion. There's a reason why all the stores play it in the background and the restaurants play it in the background. There's a reason why movies have music. It is a powerful form of expression. And I'm telling you, listening to some good, solid music, whether that's Christian music or I'm going to tell you, even like some of the classical music and stuff, it will help improve your mood. Studies prove it. I'm not just making that up. I'm not just an old-fashioned Baptist preacher just railing here. I'm telling you, every study proves it. Good music affects your mood. Hang around people that make you a better person. Hang around people that make you a better person. That helps fill your mind. That puts something good in you. Here's one. I think this one's personal. Unplug. Unplug. Our hyper-connected society, it's not a good thing. The constant distractions, the constant alert on your phones and stuff like that. And listen, it's hard for me because I keep thinking, well, what if somebody in the church needs me? And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm kind of paranoid, but I want to be there. And sometimes, you just need to turn the phone off. Not even just put it on. I leave my phone on silent almost all the time anyway. I forget what my ringtone is most of the time. I just changed it, actually. It's Charlie Brown, Linus and Lucy for Christmas. But unplug. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Unplug. Along with this, I'd say you want to kind of fill your heart with good things here. Spend time in nature among God's creation. Get outside, go for a walk, look at the flowers, look at the trees. Get out in nature, not just drive through it. I mean, seriously, go for a walk. Get out there. There is, and like I said, this is another thing. I'm telling you, studies prove it. Studies prove this improves your mental state. And besides that, you know what you're doing when you're... does hunting count? Is that what you're doing back there? but also not just that. I'm going to tell you something. All that is witnessing to the glory of God around you. You're looking at the handiwork of the Savior. So it's get out. Spend some time in God's creation. Okay? Identify things that negatively affect you and avoid them. Identify things that negatively affect you and avoid them. And you say, well, I got my electric bill. That offends me. I don't want my electric bill. No, I'm not talking about that. But I will tell you, there's some topics, there's some things that rile me up. There are some things that just, get your blood boiling. And you know what I do? I avoid those things. There are some things that just, they will put me in a sour mood. Listen, there's people, on Facebook, I hide. I don't think any of y'all. But the stuff they post, it gets to me. There's things I don't want, and I don't have to deal with. It's a choice. Why do I keep exposing myself to that? And the last thing here under this, I want to say this. Learn to say no. Learn to say no. One of the most powerful things you can do for yourself is learn to say no. I'm terrible at that. You do not have to do everything. You don't have to be everywhere. You don't have to do everything. Sometimes, for your sake, you just need to say, no, I can't do that right now. I can't go there. I need a break. I've got this other thing. Sometimes you need to say no. All right. Well, musicians come, like I said, it's a very different kind of sermon here this morning. I want to be practical with you, because like I said, I know this time of the year, it's difficult. It really is. There's just so much fighting against us. We can be overwhelmed by responsibilities and all these different desires. We want to do this, we want to do that. There's just so much this time of the year that can overwhelm us. And I want to give you just a few things here in this sermon to kind of help. Kind of help refocus, get back on your feet, and keep things realigned, and keep us in a good mental state as we're moving forward. So my hope and prayer for everyone this holiday season is that we're all happy and we're all healthy. That is my prayer. I want everybody to have a happy holiday season here, Christmas, New Year's, and I want everybody to stay healthy too. Some of y'all, I'm going to have a talk with y'all about that. I want to remind you, too, that we're all in this together. And as a church family, I think we owe it one to another to be on the lookout for each other. See somebody struggling, you see somebody hurting, do something, step in, make a phone call, write a note, bake cookies, go give somebody a hug, do something. And I thought about this, you could be exactly what somebody needs this Christmas. Lord knows we don't need any more socks or trinkets or whatever. We got plenty of that stuff in our, we got too much of that stuff in our homes. But I'm just telling you, your expression of love, of comfort, of encouragement to someone, like I say, it could be a card, it could be cookies. I keep going back to cookies for some reason. But whatever it is, I'm telling you, you might just be what somebody needs this Christmas. Don't just look at what can I get? What can you do for somebody else? And by the way, as I close, the greatest source of joy at Christmas is Christ. You want to understand Christmas, you need to know that one who came to die for our sins. No wonder this world has problems. No wonder they have no peace. No wonder they're all entangled in sin. No wonder all the evil, you know why? Because they don't have Christ. And each of us need Him. That's the most foundational thing. We need Him. You need His salvation. You need His strength and His grace. If you're going to make it through this season or any day, if you're going to make it through eternity, you need Christ. If you haven't received Him, you need to do it. You need to do it now. What number there, Olin?
85.
Number 85 there in the Heavenly Highways. If you'll stand, we'll have a short time of invitation. Like I say, just a practical message here this morning. Thought maybe pastoral in a sense, just trying to help folks, trying to be encouraged, trying to give what little bit of advice I know how to give to help, because we all need a little bit of extra help this season, don't we? All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this wonderful church family. I thank You that, Lord, is going through this. I can think of so many examples of ways. A lot of things I've talked about are people are already doing. It's such an encouragement to me to see. Lord, we have such an amazing church family. I know we all have folks that are hurting. We have folks that are having heartaches right now, and I'm so glad to see folks step in and show love for somebody, to show support, to lift them up in prayer. So many ways that we do this. Lord, this season, I pray, Lord, we keep You first. I pray we're able to do something for others. And Lord, just keep our minds focused and filled with the good things. And Lord, give us the peace that only You can give. And that when we get through it this season, we're just thanking You and praising You and glorifying You for that wonderful gift of salvation that you brought there at Bethlehem and on the cross. But more than that, Lord, that you've brought us through, and while other people may be really struggling without hope, that You've brought us through again, and we can shout Your praises and be a shining light to those around us. Lord, I pray this is a challenge and a comfort. Just let it sink in during this invitation time and speak to our hearts. I pray this in Thy holy name. Amen.